Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship service on this beautiful November Sabbath day. Good to see everyone here on this nice crisp morning. And a special welcome to all of our veterans. And thank you to Laverne and Dorothy for putting the flags out around the church. Looks real nice. Especially thank you, veterans, for your service. The sign out front, if you read that, it just speaks volumes. The land of the free because of the brave. We thank all veterans everywhere for your service in protecting our country and its many freedoms that we enjoy. We will start our worship service with our invitation to worship. If you come into this place with the hope of growing deeper, with the hope of connecting, with the hope of glimpsing God, and if all of those things take place and your spirit is moved and you swear God is near and you feel more lucky for the gift of faith, and then the service comes to an end, and it's time for you to leave, and you ask yourself, where do we go from here? This is only the beginning. Fill your cup here. Let us worship Holy God. So please join me in our unison prayer as we offer it to God. Holy God, we know that you are always speaking through strangers and friends, through sunrise and sunset, through random acts of kindness and feelings that stir hope awake in us. We know that you speak through dreams and prayer, and through a still small voice and bursts of overwhelming joy. We know that you are always speaking, but we also know that we are going to miss it. Settle our spirits now to hear your word fully. We want to be part of the conversation. Gratefully we pray. Amen. At this time, we will honor our veterans with a medley of service songs. And veteran or family member, please stand when your song is played. Thank you. Thank you all for your service. You have kept our country free, and we have the privilege of being here in worship today because of all of that service.
And now if you'll join me in the Lord's Prayer, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if the ushers will come forward, we'll have our offering and gifts today. In the book of Acts, there's a story about Peter and Cornelius, and we're going to hear about them in Pastor Roberta's message today. It's the story of God working through people. Peter needed Cornelius to understand God's message. Mary needed Elizabeth. Jesus needed the disciples, and Moses needed Aaron. The story of our faith is, where do we go from here? And one answer to that question is that we give what we can from what we have, and trust that God will continue moving us closer to that promised day. So, family of faith, We thank you for your tithes and your offerings, knowing that this is the work of community. This is the work of faith. Amen.
Our scripture today is taken from the book of Acts and its various verses. From the book of Acts, the actual scripture was a whole chapter of 10, and that seemed like a lot. So I tried to compartmentalize some of it. There was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion in the Italian company. He and his whole household were pious, gentle God worshippers. He gave generously to those in need among the Jewish people and prayed to God constantly. One day, at nearly 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he clearly saw an angel from God in a vision. The angel came to him and said, "Cornelius." Startled, he started at the angel and replied, "What is it, Lord?" The angel said, "Your prayers and your compassionate acts are like a memorial offering to God. Send messengers to Joppa at once and summon a certain Simon, the one also known as Peter." At noon on the following day, as their journey brought them to close to the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted to eat. While others were preparing the meal, he had a visionary experience. He saw heaven opened up and something like a large linen sheet being lowered to the earth by its four corners. Inside the sheet were all kinds of four-legged animals, reptiles, and wild birds. A voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Peter exclaimed, "Absolutely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke a second time, "Never consider unclean what God has made pure." This happened three times, then the object was suddenly pulled back up into heaven. Peter was bewildered about the meaning of the vision. Just then, the messengers sent by Cornelius discovered the whereabouts of Simon's house and arrived at the gate. Calling out, they inquired whether the Simon known as Peter was a guest there. While Peter was brooding over the vision, the Spirit interrupted him. "Look, there are three people looking for you. Go downstairs, don't ask questions, just go with them because I have sent them." So Peter went downstairs and told them, "I'm the one you are looking for. Why have you come?" They replied, "We've come on behalf of Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous man, a God worshiper who is well respected by all Jewish people. A holy angel directed him to summon you to his house and to hear what you have to say." Peter invited them into the house as his guests. The next day he got up and went with them together with some friends from Joppa. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Anticipating their arrival, Cornelius had gathered his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in order to honor him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Get up, like you, I'm just a human." As they continued talking, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. And he said to them, "You all realize that it is forbidden for a Jew to associate or visit with outsiders. However, God has shown me that I should never call a person impure or unclean. For this reason, when you sent for me, I came without objection. I want to know then why you sent for me." Cornelius answered, "Four days ago, at the same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was praying at home. Suddenly, a man in radiant clothing stood before me. He said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayers and your compassionate acts are like a memorial offering to him. Therefore, send someone to Joppa and Simon Peter, who is known as Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, located near the seacoast. I sent for you right away, and you were kind enough to come. Now, here we are, gathered in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has directed you to say." Peter said, "I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him. This is the message of peace he sent to the Israelites by proclaiming the good news through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." The word of God. Thanks be to God. This is the last message in our series I've been meaning to ask. And the questions that we have looked at are, where do you come from? Where does it hurt? What do you need? Today, we're going to wrap up that series with the question, where do we go from here? Out of all the questions that we have considered, I think today's question, where do we go from here, is a question that everyone is asking in some sort of way. There are many where do we go from here kind of moments, and we don't have to look very far to find them. The world has changed drastically in a few short years, and like it or not, the pandemic has changed the way we relate to others, do business, and even the way we do church and worship. Just think Zoom. In a few short years, we have redefined that word. You know, it used to mean go faster, zooming little cars. Well, today people no longer think of something zooming around like a fast little car. They think of people on a screen. At other times, we ask this question in the midst of the move, the loss of the job, a child in trouble, an unplanned pregnancy, stock market woes, an illness, or even death. In today's time and place, our political environment is as polarized and charged as I've ever seen it, and many people are saying, where do we go from here? If you've ever been the victim of a natural disaster, and if you have ever stood looking at the rubble and experienced the sorrow and the grief and the loss, it's difficult to fathom. Where do I go from here? In today's text, the question, where do you go from here, is posed more as a question of tradition and of inclusiveness. Both Cornelius and Paul are called to step away from their relational and their traditional comfort zones. They're called to step away and to do something different. They're called to embrace one another. As Garrity puts it, Cornelius breaks the law to welcome Peter. Without questioning or gatekeeping, Cornelius bows before Peter and simply asks him to share the gospel with his household. What Cornelius does is unheard of. It breaks all the rules, skews tradition, and reimagines expectations. Peter's just as certain that, you know, he shouldn't be there either. He shouldn't be doing that. And by going there, he knows that he's breaking the law and he's messing up traditions and redefining who's in and who's out of the friend group. Peter says and makes it clear, y'all realize that it's forbidden for a Jew to associate or visit with outsiders. Y'all know that, don't you? What are you doing inviting me to your table? You see, we all have our values and traditions and rules that we live by. Being it's November, most of us are thinking about our holiday traditions, and I think almost every family has some tradition that's centered around Christmas or Thanksgiving, and they do what they do. One of my family's Thanksgiving traditions is oyster dressing. And trust me, not to have oyster dressing on the table would be the eighth deadly sin. It's out and out criminal. It just is. That dressing is made the same way that it's been made long before I was ever born, and thou shalt not mess with the recipe. Trust me, I know. Now, you may not like it, and you don't have to eat it, but at least until my generation passes, it's going to show up on the table. Although my niece has assured me it will still be there long after I'm dead, so we have a few years left. As Christmas, many of our traditions are defined by our faith and the faith communities to which we're connected. Many congregations have traditions around the holidays. Each year, as you've mentioned, the Oxford United Methodist Church serves a Thanksgiving community meal. Remington celebrates with a community service, and many congregations hold Christmas Eve celebrations dear. One of my favorite traditions we'll celebrate in a couple of weeks is the hanging of the green service. For me, it just doesn't feel like Advent and Christmas without it. It centers me in why we do what we do, and how all those holiday decorations that we put up and around relate to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So it kind of roots my season. We're going to be celebrating that service. As churches and congregations, we all have traditions. We all have rules surrounding what we can and can't do as the body of Christ. Every congregation, spoken or unspoken, have established expectations or rules regarding worship and fellowship and missions and how we behave, what's appropriate and what isn't. And sometimes there's a dress code, a body piercing, tattoo code. Nevertheless, if you don't know the rules and expectations of any congregation, let me just say, as a pastor, from my experience, if you inadvertently break one of those, they will let you know. So if we don't think that our traditions are important, just as were Peter's, just try messing with them. And it is likely that you'll have an outcry of butts, and you'll get the evil eye and hear, that's not the way we do things around here, or that's the way we've always done it. Anybody ever said that? You've never said that, have you? That's the way we've always done it. You know, that's the same thing as saying don't mess with Texas. On the other hand, sometimes rules, expectations, and yes, even long-held traditions get redefined or even changed for a variety of reasons. And throughout history, God has given the church and those who worship new visions, inspiration, calls to change and reimagine church, the way we worship, who we are, our polity, theology, and so on. And in today's text, both Cornelius and Peter have to step out of their comfort zones so that the gospel message might be proclaimed and heard. I don't think that it was probably comfortable for Cornelius to ask Peter to come to his house, nor do I really think that it was comfortable for Peter to go to Cornelius' house. It was just out of the friend group, out of the comfort zone. You guys are different from each other. But you know, sometimes God calls us to cast our nets out a little further, let them sink a little deeper, move into uncharted waters, and consider drawing the circle of who's in and who's out a little bit wider. Ask yourself, who's allowed in my friend group? Sometimes it's easier to ask who's not allowed in my friend group. God's calling us to draw the circle just a little bit wider. And much like in today's text, God's people praying tends to make the Spirit's wind blow. God's children then, when God's children are praying, they dream visions and amazing things start to happen. I don't know if you've ever heard of breakthrough prayer, but congregations throughout the country are embracing the idea of creating a breakthrough prayer for their congregations. And as a result, those who have taken the time to do things, amazing new ways of being church and doing ministry are occurring as congregations and their members allow themselves to open their hearts and spirits and lean in to the idea that the Holy Spirit would move within them, permit long-held beliefs and traditions to be reimagined, not done away with, reimagined, as they lean into the idea of asking God for new dreams and new visions. Did you know our district has a breakthrough prayer? Anybody know that? Yeah, we have a breakthrough prayer, and it says, God, thank you for the good gifts in our lives. Please break through all obstacles that may prevent churches, pastors, and leaders of the Northwest District from accomplishing the mission you have for us in this time and place. Open doors to new hopes and possibilities beyond which we can imagine. We commit ourselves faithfully surrendering to your plans and purposes, May your will be done. Amen. In today's text, I think that it's safe to say that both Cornelius and Paul are facing a breakthrough prayer moment that results in a vision in which God is calling them to envision something new and different, to widen their circle of expectations, of rules, traditions, and understanding of inclusion. We might say that they are facing a where do we go from here moment. Both men have been praying, and both receive a vision from God which calls them to move beyond their comfort zones and challenges their ideas of sense and sensibility. And both men have a choice to make. Cornelius, a man of prayer and compassion, has the vision that calls him to seek out Peter so that his household can hear the gospel message and hear what Peter has to say. And why Peter? Because Cornelius obviously knows something. Well, Peter, he wants Peter because Peter was a witness. Peter was a witness. He walked with Jesus. So if anybody knew, Peter knew. But does he dare risk reaching out? Because it's risky for a Roman centurion to do this. I mean, they're not friends, and the Roman government wouldn't like this at all. Yet Cornelius chooses to send messengers to Joppa to summon Peter, despite knowing that it's going to break all the rules. Now, Peter, too, he has a vision. He's out on the rooftop getting a tan and praying when apparently he prays so hard that he gets hungry. Have you ever prayed so hard that you got hungry? I'm always hungry, so I can legitimately answer yes. Our text says that Peter was so focused on a tummy, he too has a visionary experience. And in perfect God-like style, and God knowing Peter's a visual learner, God gives Peter a very graphic and timely image of a sheet filled with food. After all, Peter's hungry, so food ought to get his attention, and it does. I imagine Peter's mouth is watering just at the idea of food being provided. He's salivating. That is, until Peter sees God's offered him up a brain sandwich instead of turkey. Well, actually, what Peter was offered was all kinds of four-legged animals and reptiles and wild birds, nothing he can eat. But it may as well have been a brain sandwich to him, because there's nothing in that sheet that qualifies as kosher food. And just like any good parent, the voice tells Peter, Peter, get up. Get up, Peter, and eat. Conversely, just like any kid you try to feed spinach or something that's healthy to, Peter says, oh, I ain't doing that. I am not eating that. Absolutely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure and unclean, and I'm not going to start today. Now, I don't know if you noticed or not, but Peter refuses to partake of the Lord's provisions like three times. Three times. I'm not doing that. Why? Because Peter knows the rules. He knows the traditions. He knows what he's supposed to do. And he knows what he knows what he knows. He's been raised to follow the spiritual and ritualistic laws that are passed down from generation to generation. And these rules, well, they were established to set the people apart as the people of God. They established the daily rhythm for their lives, how they worked and played and worshiped and everything they did. So because Peter knows the rules and traditions of his faith and is a committed follower, he doesn't consider that in this moment that God might be trying to redefine what it means to embody those rules. So the voice speaks again and says, never consider unclean what God has made pure. And that happens three times. And finally, the sheet's taken away, so we all know Peter's still hungry. But now Peter's not only hungry, he's a bewildered hot mess because he doesn't understand why the Lord would ask him to break the rules and the expectations of his faith. Why? It's just not the way things are done. Nevertheless, while Peter was brooding over the vision, the Spirit interrupts him again and says, look, three people are looking for you. Go downstairs. Don't ask any questions. No questions. Just go with it, because I've sent them. And, well, Peter does. Notice, whether or not in the moment that Peter understands or can decipher God's vision or not, Peter goes with it. He follows the Spirit's leading, and in doing so, he comes to understand this food-filled sheet. He comes to understand that the vision really isn't about food at all. And so, well, maybe what Peter was being asked to do doesn't make any sense, but Peter gets up and goes anyway. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit or God prompt you to something that just didn't make any sense? And you say, I'm not doing that, Lord. That just doesn't make any sense. That can't be God. That can't be Jesus. And you just kind of sit at home and do what you were going to do anyway. Sometimes we have to consider that maybe we don't understand why God's asking us to do something. But the God has a plan, and God knows what God's doing. And our job is to get up and go. Because if you read the text, later understanding comes. That sheet full of food that made no sense until, well, it made no sense until Cornelius showed up. Until the messengers knock on the door and say, hey, dude, we want you to come talk to Cornelius. We've come on behalf of Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous man, a God worshiper, is well respected. A holy angel directed him to summon you to his house and hear what you have to say. Now, Peter could have said, no way, he's a Roman centurion. God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't do that. You might say that Cornelius' household and messengers and those gathered represent the unclean people. Peter said to them, you all realize that it is forbidden for a Jew to associate or visit with others. Why are you asking me here? And yet, outsiders are not. Peter is called to widen that friend group and go to Cornelius' house to preach the gospel message. And once Peter learns why he's there, notice what he says. I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over the other. Rather, in every nation, whoever worship him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Again, who's not welcome in the friend group? Because God says everybody's welcome. And in the end, look what happens when Peter accepts that Cornelius and his household can be part of the friend group. Look what happens. Peter preaches the gospel message of Jesus Christ to all of those gathered. And if you read the whole chapter, here's what you learn. While Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on everyone who heard the word. And Peter, seeing the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out, even on the Gentiles, comes to fully understand that God shows no partiality, that God's grace has no limit, and that God's love is for all people. Folks, because Peter and Cornelius took the risk and let their assumptions be challenged and listened to the Spirit, lives were changed. An entire household and all those present were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I imagine the number of people that could have probably been packed into Cornelius' house was maybe as many are here today. Can you imagine a church service where all those people are being baptized at the altar? Because that's what happened when Peter prayed and listened and showed up. The truth for us is this. In the moment that the Spirit speaks and moves, we may not always understand why the Spirit calls us into certain spaces or to those we might consider unclean and unworthy of Christ's love, forgiveness, and grace. But one thing is certain. When God's people pray, the Spirit answers. And when the Spirit answers, God gives us dreams and visions, and through those dreams and visions, lives are changed. Lives are changed. We may not be able to make sense of anything in the moment, but in time, the purposes will be revealed to us if we will follow the Spirit's prompting to leave our comfort zones of sense and sensibility and open our hearts to all people. Think about it. Jesus was known to take all the rules and the traditions and redefine what it meant to embody them and live them out. He healed on the Sabbath, dined with sinners, called people out of trees, spoke against the injustices of his time and place, called those clean and made them cleaned. Those that were unclean, he made clean. Said, you're invited into the friend group. He took all the social outcasts in, people of God. One never knows where we might find a gathered presence of people hungry for the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And they're out there. But like Peter, we have to be prepared to make the journey to wherever they are. Answer the call to share the gospel message. So where do we go from here? We pray. We pray. We seek God's visions and dream God's dreams. We widen our friend circle and we ask God, where do we go from here? We ask God, where do we go from here? So now y'all know I like to give homework. There is a book written by Sue Nielsen Kibbe called The Open Road, The Adventure of a Breakthrough Prayer Initiative. I would encourage you to get that book. It's not very big. It's only about that big. You can read it in a day if you're a slow reader, a couple of days. But I would read that book and I would consider it. And I would think about it. And I would pray over it. And as an ad counsel, I would consider, after you've read the book, creating a breakthrough prayer for this congregation. And let's see what God can do when we open our hearts and dream God's dreams. So from here, may the peace and the love and the forgiveness of Christ be with you all. May the Holy Spirit inspire you to dream God's dreams and to see God's visions. Amen.